From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
NOPA.
Kind of Lower Russian Hill.
I live across from El Matate in San Francisco.
Coming up, a famous Bay Area name, Junipero Serra, will become a saint, but Native Americans are banding together to protest.
If he was a saint, he wouldn't have brought on all of this devastation to all of these people.
Then we'll consider the importance of our local sports fans.
A team at home is about 7 to 10% more likely to win than a team on the road.
And we'll hear about the long and winding road to becoming the city's first licensed street food vendor.
Well, if you're a hard-crusted hearth-baked roll, you're exempt from the Restaurant Act. And I said, well, how do I get to be a hard-crusted hearth-baked roll? And he said, I have no idea, but call the health department.
Power and pretzels to the people. Today on an extended edition of Cross Currents. Today we're bringing you stories of people power.
Ooh,
did you hear that? And to help us, we've got a guest who knows what can happen when people come together. It is Ben Trefney, our news director. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Hannah. Yeah, we have had people at KALW coming together with our audience, for our audience, during our September membership drive. We are having our last Cross Currents of the drive right now.
Right.
And it is totally people-powered. I'm looking through the studio windows here. I'm checking out Jen Chin. I'm checking out Debbie Kennedy, checking out Nina Gensler-Debs. And Annette Bistrup has been working so hard,
yeah,
trying to bring this drive to a close, Hannah, and we can do it today with your help. 800-525-9917. Please become a member. This is the last Cross Currents during the drive, and it's all about people power.
Go to kalw.org and make your contribution there. And we are aiming to finish this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We are hoping to finish this by the end of Cross Currents. That can only happen with your support right now. 800-525-9917. And there's a challenge, Ben.
Oh, there sure is. Yes. John and Ann Kadick in Berkeley and Scott Johnson in Cupertino have come together asking for 40 calls or clicks during this Cross Currents.
40.
And we'll get an extra $1,000. And that will really help us get to the end of this membership drive. So we need to get 40 calls or clicks in the next hour. If you've not become a member yet during this membership drive, we're trying to wrap it up tonight. We can really only do it with your support. Let's start with the 40 calls or clicks, one at a time. But really, the big thing we need to do is wrap up this drive so we can get back to the regular local public radio that you listen to and love just like us. 800-525-9917.
And this is the time to do that. It is the final Cross Currents in this drive, and this is definitely the time to do it. If you've been putting it off, this is it. This is it. 800-525-9917. Call right now. Our film volunteers are waiting to hear from you. Or go online to kalw.org. Be a part of the 40 call or click challenge. Help us make this $1,000. And otherwise, we have to give it back, Ben, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we're going to have to offer that money back to the Kadicks in Berkeley and the Johnsons in Cupertino. So please help us to finish this off. Help us to bring local public radio and this storytelling to you. It makes the Bay Area a better place. But you know what, Hannah?
Oh, yeah.
I think we got to get to the stories right away so you could still call while we do it and we get into the Cross Currents show. 800-525-9917. But now let's hear some local people who are standing up for their beliefs.
It's not every day that a local person becomes a saint. But on September 23rd, more than 200 years after he died, Junipero Serra will be canonized by Pope Francis. Serra was a Franciscan priest whose name can be seen on roads, schools, and landmarks all over California. He's a huge figure in California history, for sure. But some people believe Serra is far from being a saint. KLW's Leela Day has the story. This past year, Native American activists in various parts of California have held protests against the Pope's plans to make Junipero Serra a saint.
If he was a saint, he wouldn't have brought on all of this devastation and genocide to all of these people.
That's Karina Gould, a member of Indian People Organizing for Change. She's talking about the effects of the mission system, a key part of the Spanish colonization of California. Missions were constructed to spread the word of Christianity.
21 of them stretch from San Diego up the coast to San Francisco. And Junipero Serra was the driving force behind their founding and expansion.
So many people in the Bay Area that grew up in California learned about these mission systems, that they were these great things that came and helped the Native people. They never talk about the truth of what happened.
That truth includes some uncomfortable facts. After the Spanish came in the late 1500s, the Native population declined, and fast. Prior to colonization, California had an estimated 300,000 American Indians, and by 1900, there were only about 15,000. Much of this was due to disease brought by the Spanish, but life on the missions was also brutal.
You had to live by their rules, so you didn't get to speak your own languages anymore. You weren't able to practice religion or sing songs or do any of the things that you would regularly do. And then you had to go by these bells. For us here in Oakland, we are right across the street from a church that plays bells at different times of the day. Those bells remind me of the bells that called my ancestors 6 a.m. to wake up and to begin prayer, and at noon to stop and to eat. But it was all of these things that you were learning these things by the bell.
Native Americans that did submit to Catholicism were baptized. By law, they were under the authority of the Franciscans. And some of the mission's documents prove they were whipped, beaten, shackled, and hunted down if they ran away. The Vatican is aware of the controversial history. This past July, at a town hall speech in Bolivia, Pope Francis apologized for what he called the sins of the Catholic Church. I humbly ask forgiveness, he said to the crowd, not only for the offense of the church herself, but also for crimes committed against the native peoples during the so-called conquest of America. Still, proponents of Serra's sainthood say the injustices of the mission system should be seen in a historical context, that Serra was a product of his time. His own papers include the words, spiritual fathers should punish their sons, the Indians, with blows. But it's also documented that Serra strongly voiced his opinions about military expeditions against Native Americans, and he resisted climbing any academic ladders, preferring to spend his time with the people he believed needed the Catholic Church. This notion that Native people were needing foreign help makes someone like Ruth Orta start to boil.
On my land. I'm going to call this my land because it is. On my mom's side, this is my land. I've never left. I'm still here.
Orta is a volunteer here at the Coyote Hills State Park in the East Bay. In her free time, she volunteers, doing things like teaching people how to harvest acorns, the traditional way that her ancestors did.
See, this one is cracked open. This one's no good. But this is what they look like. Oh, yeah, it's got bugs in it.
Orta is short. She walks fast and wears a gold cross around her neck. She's Catholic, and she's Native American.
I'm Ohlone, because that entails the whole San Francisco Bay Area. So that's what I am, but I have little different things in me.
Orta says that being 81 means that she can speak her mind and not care about what you think. So even though she's Catholic, she has no problems opposing the canonization of Junipero Serra.
What they did, and what the man, Junipero Serra, allowed to happen, even though there's books saying that he was this and he was that, he was nice, he was good with natives and all that. Well, if he was, he should have stuck behind him and talked for that goodness in what he was supposed to be doing.
So do you feel torn at all being Catholic and being against this?
No. I know what I believe, what I think. I'm not torn about decisions.
This park that Orta volunteers at has a lot of historical relevance. It used to be an Ohlone village site. Outside in the marshland, birds are chattering. Orta tells me that she's looking forward to her Sunday in church. When I ask her how she's going to feel when she's asked to pray to Junipero Serra, she says she has a simple solution.
Just turn it off. Just skip over. God knows what I feel. So he'll know. I have faith that when I die, I am going to go to my Creator. Yep.
For others, it's not that simple. Some have faith that Junipero Serra is worthy of sainthood, and some don't. But one thing the canonization has brought to light is the complicated and contested nature of our state's history. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day.
Junipero Serra will be canonized by Pope Francis next Wednesday at a mass that will take place in Washington. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm here with KALW's news director, Ben Trefney. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Hannah.
And now we're joined by our managing editor for Cross Currents, Jen Sheehan. Hey, Jen.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Hi. So the power of people. What is the power of us three here being in here today? What are we doing?
We're coming in here and we are helping to make great radio like we do every day here at KALW. And we are here also to invite you as a listener to be a part of that. Join us. Bring your voice into the discussion by calling 800-525-9917 or going to KALW.org.
Yeah, we spend time in the newsroom every day thinking about what's going to be most important for this community to hear about. And of course, next week we have this canonization of Junipero Serra. We hear and see his name all over the Bay Area. And it's so important to really think deeply about that deep history of what he's really meant to the Bay Area. And I think it's really part of our news department's mission that, Hannah, you're part of, Jen, you, Leela, everybody who's on part on this team here, and your audience too. I don't know if you all know what our mission statement is here, but here's what it is. We think there is not enough joyful and informative media that bridges the divides in our community, whether those divides are social, economic, cultural, political, or religious. We are always trying to bring you the stories that bring people together, that help you understand the Bay Area better. And that's what Cross Currents is all about. And it's all about you. It's all for you. So we want to hear from you. And now is the perfect time to help with that. 800-525-9917.
This is the last Cross Currents in this drive. And we are trying and aiming to wrap it up tonight. So this is the perfect time to make your contribution at 800-525-9917. And every dollar you give will, every call and every click will go towards our challenge. Mm-hmm. And we need 40.
Mm-hmm.
40, 40, 40, and we can totally do this.
We can.
And if we don't get to the 40, what happens? We have to give back the money. So generously given to us by John and Ann Kadick in Berkeley, thank you so much, and Scott Johnson in Cupertino,
we'll
thank
get an
you.
Extra, we'll get an extra $1,000 if we can one at a time get 40 calls and clicks from these generous members of KALW. You too can be a generous member of KALW by calling 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917 or going online to KALW.org. A click is as good as a call. You know, becoming a member really changes the way that you listen. You aren't just someone who depends on listening to public radio, then you're someone who is making it happen. Mm-hmm. And that feels good. And if you've never become a member, if you've been a listener for a long time or even a short time, give it a try. Give us a call, 800-525-9917. You might be surprised at how good it can feel.
And when you listen to other membership drives at other stations, you know they can go on and on and on. They talk about all these gifts. We have generous gifts, too,
oh,
for
plenty.
You. Yeah, but they're online at kalw.org. We don't have time to talk about them because we're going to go back to another story in a minute. But check it out at kalw.org. Realize that we are nearing the end of our membership drive here. This is your last chance during Cross Currents to become a member. This is your last chance to support KALW, and we would really appreciate it. Hannah, there's a couple of people to thank here.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Kevin Danaher from San Francisco, who called in.
Thank you
to Paul from San Francisco.
Just Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Just Paul called in at 800-525-9917 because he wanted this to count towards the challenge, and he really wants us to get that money.
And we really want to read your name on the air. So
yeah.
let your name be the next one that we thank because we really appreciate your support.
That's right. Online at kalw.org. You can still call when we go back to another great story from Cross Currents by calling 800-525-9917. But really, we're all about the programming. All drive long, you know we do not interrupt programming. We just make sure that you know you could go online to become a member and close out this drive with us right now at kalw.org. But now, let's hear our next story. It's about the power of sports fans.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba.
When the Oakland-based Golden State Warriors won the NBA championship back in June, fans across the Bay Area exploded with pure, rapturous joy. For Oakland residents like Jesus Yanez, the victory was about more than just basketball.
It feels real good because Oakland needs this. You know, we're tired of having just these homicides. You know what I'm saying? It's about time to be the championship to our side because Oakland is the heart of the Bay. And forget San Francisco because San Francisco faces Oakland.
But then the final fireworks blasted, the parade died down, the fans went home, and the Warriors did not forget San Francisco. Fans looking to fill the void between NBA seasons can pick up a copy of the 1,600-page environmental impact report on the logistics of the team's proposed move across the bay. The team hopes for approval this fall and to move into a new arena in San Francisco's Mission Bay neighborhood by 2018. So where does that leave the Warriors' fan base? KLW's Holly J. McDeed has the story on the deals made off the court and where the so-called Dub Nation fans fit in the equation.
Here's a question I asked myself after the Golden State Warriors championship. Is Dub Nation still Dub Nation when basketball season is over and the fans have gone home?
Kind of feels like home, doesn't it? Lots.
If it is, you won't find it in the Oracle Arena, because the home of Dub Nation is also the home of the Hello Kitty Super Cute Friendship Festival.
And I don't ever want it to end.
Sorry, Hello Kitty, but by the end of the evening, you'll be gone too. Dub Nation's also home to Ricky Martin, The Who, and a regular returner, the musical Frozen, on ice.
You don't have to live in fear, 'cause for the first time in forever, I will be right here.
Clearly, the arena itself isn't the only place Dub Nation lives. And yet, it's a huge part of the team's identity. Months before the championship, the New Orleans Pelicans coach suggested that screaming Dub Nation fans may have sent the decibel level at Oracle Arena soaring above legal limits. And when the Warriors finally won the title, they did it in Cleveland, while 17,000 fans packed a sold-out Oracle to make noise for a team that couldn't even hear them. The role fans play in a team's success can be a little intangible, but don't underestimate the power of those screams. Brett Green is a sport economics researcher at UC Berkeley.
The fact of the matter is that in the NBA, a team at home is about 7 to 10% more likely to win than a team on the road.
This season, the Warriors won 39 home games, compared to just 28 games on the road.
So one theory for why home court advantage exists is because of the fans. Oracle Arena, where the Warriors play, is known as being one of the loudest stadiums in the NBA.
Fans actually call it Roaracle. Right now, those roaring fans aren't in Mission Bay, but the team's planning to go no matter what. I walked around the neighborhood the night the Warriors won, and here's what it sounded like.
It's really quiet.
But PJ Johnson, spokesperson for the Warriors, says passionate fans, like sports stadiums, can be built.
It's sort of that kind of thing where if you build it, it will eventually come.
Johnson says that even without the team, Mission Bay is coming into its own. It used to be a collection of warehouses, concrete plants, and muddy fields. Now it's home to biotech companies like Twist Bioscience, Bayer Healthcare Pharmaceuticals, and UCSF's new medical campus. It'll soon host Uber's huge corporate headquarters. Now, it just needs a nightlife and, he says, a team.
What the arena will bring is not only the Warriors, this beloved basketball team, and also with it, a number of restaurants and cafes and retail amenities and groceries and things that the neighborhood just doesn't have now.
Ooh, fantastic.
When he's watching the Warriors in Game 5 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sam Singer is a lifelong fan.
Oh yes, the Warriors are really playing well. This is great.
But when he's Sam Singer, the UCSF stakeholder and well-known political operative, he's prepared to fight. He represents the Mission Bay Alliance, a nonprofit group that wants to keep the Warriors out.
We have no illusions that they're not a world-class opponent. But luckily, we're not playing the people who won the NBA championships themselves. We're not playing the players. We're playing against the owners of the team, and we think we match up quite well in height and depth. We can go long, we can go short.
The Mission Bay Alliance says the Warriors will bring massive traffic jams to the neighborhood. Plus, crowds and noise. They actually call it life-threatening congestion.
I would prefer them to stay. Why not have them in Oakland?
Local nurse Cosima Singleton is also a lifelong Warriors fan. But like Sam Singer, being a fan doesn't change her worries about the project. She lives in Russian Hill and works at the UCSF Medical Center, just blocks from where the Warriors plan to move.
It may change the area, and my top priority would be to have like locals stay local and to have residential areas be available to people who are born and raised in San Francisco or to normal people.
The Warriors' move has forced fans like Singleton to look at their team as a big business franchise instead of a favorite team. And sports economist Brett Green says that changed perspective could have a real effect on the games.
I think there's some concern that a move from Oracle, from the area where, you know, the Warriors have been for 40 years, to San Francisco will change the composition of people that attend games.
Fans who like the idea of a winning team more than the team itself.
And therefore, the new stadium may not be as loud, as supportive for the home team.
Not too many people have studied this, but we do have one local example. The new Levi Stadium that opened in 2014 was eerily quiet for most of the season, in contrast to the chaotic Candlestick Park, where the 49ers played for 43 seasons. Their last year at Candlestick, the 49ers won 6 games at home and only lost 2. The year they moved, they lost as many games at home as they won. Still, more people attended games, and they paid more for them. 10,000 more fans, paying an average of $117 a ticket. That's 40% more than they would have paid at Candlestick. Brett Green says the Warriors may see a similar bump.
I think part of the reason for the team moving to San Francisco, besides getting a new stadium, would be to attract the sort of typical San Franciscoite, San Franciscan, who is probably wealthier than the typical person from Oakland, and therefore probably is able to pay more for the tickets.
If the Warriors move to San Francisco on schedule, the new stadium will be open by 2018. Ticket sales will be one way to test fan devotion. Another will be the volume and quantity of their screams when the diehards and the newbies sit side by side. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly J. McDeed.
Thanks, Holly. I'm Henat Baba. This is Cross Currents, and I'm here with our news director, Ben Trefney. And hi, Ben. And we've just been joined by KLW reporter, editor, Nina Gensler-Debs.
Oh, hey. Hi. How's it going?
Warrior. Are you Warrior fans?
Dub Nation.
How could you not be a Warriors fan this year? Steph Curry. Splash Brothers.
Riley Curry. Let's be real.
That's true.
Oof, what an adorable child.
We would not know Riley Curry if it weren't for Steph Curry and the Warriors.
That is true.
Now that's the power of the people, right?
All the people.
Coming together.
Family. That's right. Dub Nation family. And you know, I think that story, it's pretty interesting, and it's an interesting time because the Warriors, they're not talking about leaving the Bay Area. They're just talking about crossing the Bay Area. But, I mean, that makes a big difference.
Ooh.
And I think that it's not like they're going to get better fans. That's not possible because it's the best fans in the league. Everybody says they're in Oakland. So, you know, you got to think about the finances. But it's a change in Bay Area. It's what we're trying to report on here at KLW all the time.
That's right. And this is a perfect time to talk about it, but also to talk about our spring It's not spring, it's fall. Membership campaign. I wish it was spring.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to be back on the air.
Until spring.
With membership drives. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be 8 more months before we are asking you to become a member of KALW. So if you're not a member, your chance is right now at 800-525-9917. And it's a perfect time to call for 3 reasons.
Mm.
One is because it's your last chance for those many months, 800-525-9917. Another is because we have a $1,000 challenge. We need to get probably about 33 more calls or clicks in this hour.
And we can do it.
We'll get an extra $1,000. And the third reason is because of Nina Gensler Debs.
I'm a great reason, an amazingly good reason. And if you're a Warriors fan, or if you're not a Warriors fan, that's also a great reason, because you'll hear reporting on all sorts of things and all sorts of sports. I think we'll have A's coming up soon. We'll probably talk about the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the even
well,
year.
Every other year. But regardless, we're reporting on really important things that matter to people across the Bay, mm-hmm. and you should be a part of that by calling 800-525-9917.
Or go online to KALW. org. You could always find all our stories there. And, you know, just like today, we report upon all these stories that are important to you in the Bay Area. This is the place where we all live, all together. I mean, whether we live in San Francisco or Oakland or Union City or Fremont or Walnut Creek or wherever you are, we report on Junipero Serra and what it means to have the canonization of this significant figure for so many people, good and bad, and then on the Warriors.
And you get to hear both.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to represent all the perspectives. We're a news department, but it's a Bay Area news department. This is local public radio. And if you're a member of another radio station or something like that, that does not support KALW. It does not support this NPR station. Please support us now in our time of need. 800-525-9917.
And we have some people to thank, don't we, Nina?
We do. We have Patrick Galvin in San Francisco, who joined us and became a member because KALW is important in his daily life. So thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
And I bet Patrick's a great guy. I think you should probably join him. You know who else is great? Our phone room volunteers. And they are sitting there waiting to
meet
talk
them.
To you.
Somewhere on the line. Some phones are open. 800-525-9917.
You know all those times when you're just like, God, I really wish I could speak to a person on the line instead of a robot? Here is your chance, people.
Right.
These are great people and not robots. Call them. 800-525-9917.
Or KALW.org. Again, we need to get 40 calls or clicks. We need like 30 more to get...
That's doable.
Yeah, it's totally doable. One by one, each of you, we can get that $1,000, or we have to give it back. We don't want to do that.
And this is your last chance. This is the last Cross Currents during the September membership drive. We're trying to wrap up that drive by 6 p.m. tonight, but I got to tell you, we need to get these 30 calls or clicks to get the extra $1,000 to get us on our way. But really, we could really use some very generous donations to help us wrap up this drive. If you've been thinking about how much KALW means to you in your life, if you've been thinking about listening to us talk and be, you know, recognize the value that KALW has in the Bay Area. For me, it really makes the Bay Area a better place. I feel more connected to the local community, to the world, because of the NPR and the BBC. If you realize what it means to you, please consider making a generous donation and helping us finish this drive today.
Ooh, thank you for that call.
800-525-9917.
And you tell us over and over again how much you appreciate uninterrupted programming. We will continue to do that, but only if you step up now. 800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org. And thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your support and we always like hearing from you. 800-525-9917. Now, we've been talking a lot today about people who are standing up against institutions and corporations, and we're going to have another story. In this story, we'll hear about what it's like to navigate San Francisco's pretzel bureaucracy.
Starting a small business in the Bay Area can be an exercise in bureaucratic gymnastics. To be successful, you have to twist yourself into unusual shapes. Nobody knows this better than Stanley Roth. On most days, you can find him outside of Macy's in San Francisco's Union Square, hawking hot dogs to hungry shoppers and tourists. Stanley Roth runs Stanley's Steamers, the first legal food cart in San Francisco. How Stanley started that business is an odyssey told in red tape and government documents. KALW Audio Academy alum Jack Detch has that story.
In early 1974, long before food trucks and pop-up shops hit the streets, Stanley Roth was looking for a way to pay for law school at UC Berkeley. One day, he saw a cart selling pretzels on campus. He got an idea.
So I bought some pretzels from the cart and I took them to San Francisco and I sold out in an hour. And I thought, this is a good way to spend a summer making money and paying for school.
Unlike most summer jobs, Stanley needed the city's help to get started.
I went down, I called the police department and said, how do I get a license? And then they gave me a piece of paper that said, come down with 2 passport photos and $8.50 and you get your peddler permit.
No big deal, right?
So when I went down to do that, then they said, oh, you're going to use a cart. You have to go to the Department of Public Works and you have to get a temporary sidewalk occupancy permit because you're putting something on the sidewalk. And that was the first clue that this wasn't going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be.
Stanley quickly found himself in a bureaucratic pretzel.
When I went down to say to get the sidewalk occupancy permit, they said, no, we don't issue that permit. You have to go back to the police department. So I went back to the police department and they said, well, without that permit, we can't accept your application. So I went to the Board of Permit Appeals and I said, I'd like to appeal this. And they said, do you have a denial?
Stanley did not. It turned out, though, that something was in the air. Voters would soon be considering a street artist ordinance that might straighten out the process. It passed in June of 1974.
So I went back to the police department and I saw the same officer, who's actually a very nice guy. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you, but we've been advised that the street artist ordinance will not change anything. You still need the sidewalk occupancy permit. So at that point I said, give me a street artist license. And he said, for what? And I said, bake sculptures of flour and water.
Baked sculptures of flour and water.
And that was how I started selling pretzels.
Still, the city wouldn't get off his case.
The health department came out and he said, do you have a health permit?
Stanley did not. The health inspector explained that the pretzels had to be wrapped and that the cart had to have hand wash facilities. Stanley set up a meeting with the city in 2 weeks to figure out what to do. In the meantime, he had a fateful encounter that changed everything.
A couple of nights later, I was with my roommate, and we went to a pet store because his fish were sick. And the guy at the pet store gave him tetracycline for the fish. But I did notice that tetracycline is a prescription drug. So I asked the pharmacist, how are you prescribing tetracycline for fish when that's a controlled substance? And he pointed to a sign that said, the pharmaceuticals we sell are for pet use only and are not intended for human consumption. And I looked and there was a site from the California Health Code and I looked it up and it said that if you're selling something people might mistake as food but you don't want it to be considered food, then you have to post in 3-inch high red letters that your food is not for human consumption.
That led to another fateful encounter.
So the very next day I had my cart out on the street and I had 2 pretzels hanging from fishing line and a sign that said pretzel rings $25 each or make your own 25 cents each. And the pretzels I sell are delicious, but they're not intended for human consumption. A gray-haired gentleman came up and bought a pretzel and he saw the not for human consumption. And he asked me, what's this about? And I explained this whole story. And he said, well, thank you. Read my column next week. I'm Herb Cain. And I, and that was how I met Herb Cain. And then the next week, Benny put an article about what we were going through. And that changed the course of what was happening.
Herb Cain's daily column in the San Francisco Chronicle was considered the voice of the city. After the article surfaced, Stanley's story went viral. The city granted him another meeting and offered to make his street artist license good for food, as long as he got a health permit. That, however, didn't prove easy.
I had to have hot and cold running water. I had to have a 3-compartment utensil sink. I had to stand inside of a cart. It had to have 4 walls, a ceiling, and a floor. But the police code made that cart be no bigger than 3 feet by 4 feet by 5 feet because I was a street artist, and it was the same as a card table. So I was basically out of business. I think that was the first time I ever really got angry. I felt like I'd been duped, that they knew what they were going to do and I didn't know. Once you're in that position, it's sort of like you can't give up. I mean, now you're in the middle of the stream and you're going down with the rushing water, so you're just going to see where it goes at that point.
The city gave him an alternative. If he wrapped his pretzels like candy bars, it would work. He couldn't do that since he wanted to serve the pretzels hot. One day, while walking down the bread aisle at Safeway, a half-baked idea came to him.
I started looking at the French bread and I thought, that's not wrapped like a candy bar, that's open on one end. And how is that possible? I mean, I could touch it, I could lick it, I could do anything I wanted to it, and somebody would buy it. So I called the president of the bread company. It was called Laraburu Bread. And he said, well, we do that because we're not subject to the California Restaurant Act. We're subject to the Bakery Sanitation Act of 1927. And I said, what's that? He said, well, if you're a hard-crusted, hearth-baked roll, you're exempt from the Restaurant Act. And I said, well, how do I get to be a hard-crusted, hearth-baked roll? And he said, I have no idea, but call the health department. So I realized I couldn't call the San Francisco Health Department. I called the state health department. And I said, how do you do that? And they said, well, decisions like that are made by a committee called the California Conference of the Directors of Environmental Health.
Stanley got on the agenda. He went to Sacramento. The California Conference of Directors of Environmental Health saw things his way.
So I walked out with a piece of paper saying that pretzels were hard-crusted, hearth-baked rolls, and my carts were now considered bakery delivery vehicles and were considered legal if enclosed on three sides like a French bread wrapper.
Stanley had scored a major victory, he thought. But when he got back to San Francisco,
the police department called me to a hearing and they said that the agreement we had that my street artist license was good for food was now revoked, and because the city attorney had ruled they had no power to do that.
Oh boy.
So I go to the Board of Permit Appeals with my case that my this whole story and the fact that my street artist license has been revoked by the police department.
Stanley Roth had already been to the police department and the Department of Public Works and the police department again, and the Board of Permit Appeals, and the Police Department, again, and the Health Department, and the Pet Store, and Safeway, and the California Conference of Directors of Environmental Health, and the Police Department, again, and then
the Board of Permit Appeals, on December the 3rd, 1974, rules that in San Francisco, pretzels are sculptures. And that was a landmark decision in the Board of Permit Appeals.
And that ruling, that pretzels are sculptures, is still on the books in San Francisco. For Cross Currents, I'm Jack Detch.
Thank you, Jack. That story is part of a larger series about city bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. You can find more at klw.org and click on Cross Currents, and you are listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. I'm here with news director Ben Trefney.
Pretzels are sculptures.
They are. Reporter Nina Gensler-Debs. And we are joined by KLW General Manager Matt Martin, hey.
And fortunately, supporting KALW is a lot easier than getting your pretzel cart on the street. And
yes.
So we're asking you to make a very simple...
No police department involved.
No police department. No
well.
no meetings to attend. Just a simple call to 800-525-9917 or go into KALW.org. We are trying to wrap up this campaign. We're asking for your support in this final cross currents of our September campaign. Thanks to everyone who's gotten involved, including Joshua Langenhall in Berkeley, Denny Larson in Richmond, Leslie Simmons in San Francisco, all of whom went to KALW.org in the last few minutes to give their support.
Or how about the people who called our lovely volunteers in the phone room? People like Ken Weinberg in Los Altos, people like Nicholas Eppel in Oakland, George Wiepert in San Francisco, Elizabeth Wright in Menlo Park. How awesome is it that they're calling from all over the Bay Area?
Well, it's especially nice because we have this 40-caller click challenge from John and Ann Kadick in Berkeley and Scott Johnson in Cupertino, who have put up $1,000 if we can get to that 40 calls or clicks during cross currents, and we are halfway there.
Halfway.
We need 20 more calls or clicks in this, our final 20 minutes of cross currents of this membership drive. Please call 800-525-9917.
Or go to KALW.org, make your contribution there. Be a part of this drive. We only come to you twice a year. Where else is that? Twice a year. Make it matter. Give us a call, 800-525-9917. Help us reach our goal. Help us make this challenge. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give this money back,
mm-mm,
and we won't. If you call now at 800-525-9917.
This is our last membership campaign until May of 2016. Mark it on your calendar. It's 8 months away. It's a long time. We ask for your support just twice a year because we know that you appreciate your programming uninterrupted. So thanks so much to everyone who's gotten involved. Be the next person to call 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. We have had people in this hour give $60, give $120, give $1 a day, $365. At every level of support, Number one, you help KALW and keep us strong. Number two, you help us toward this challenge.
And you know, there's so much discussion in the Bay Area about how to protect and invest in really valuable resources, what makes the Bay Area such a wonderful place to live in. This is one of those resources. And you know, maybe you already called this drive and you pledged your support. But maybe this is the extra time where you go to bat for KLW and you say, I'm going to give an extra $10, $20, $30, skip a coffee a week in order to make sure that local public radio stays strong. If that's you, call us, 800-525-9917.
Boy, we would sure appreciate it. Or if you're one of those people who listens and you just rely on other people to support KALW, I mean, please step up. Now's the time. You can really help us out. Become a member of this community at 800-525-9917. We are 72% listener supported. We are nearly three quarters listener supported, and that means that there are other listeners who are putting up their money to help support this local public radio station. You can help out at kalw.org.
And if you're someone who can afford a little more, this is the time to do that. Give us a call.
Help us end this drive.
Help us end this drive. If you're someone who can give $100, $200, $500, we would appreciate it. 800-525-9917.
So that last story we heard was about a circuitous bureaucracy. And, you know, I'm going to have a little circuitous way of getting back to the next story, but it is just to make sure that you remember, you could call anyway, 800-525-9917. Or go online to kalw.org, because Cross Currents is, of course, about stories. So we're going to go back to another one. We're going to go from pretzels to prima donnas to hear how one collective of children is making their voices heard.
School has been in session for a few weeks now in districts across the Bay Area, but one class that won't be taught much is drama. The U.S. Department of Education says only 4% of elementary schools provide any kind of instruction in theater arts. More than a decade ago, that number was 20%. But there's an after-school program in San Francisco that's introducing students to the performance stage, a place where they create and perform an original opera. The youngest kid in this class is 6, and no one is older than 11. KLW's David Boyer takes us behind the scenes of the third season of this unique children's theater company.
Take it away.
Zoom!
Zoom!
Whoa!
Whoa!
A dozen kids are vocalizing, gathered in a circle in an elementary school classroom. Tiny chairs and tables are all around, and craft projects and the letters of the alphabet line the walls. It's early in the Little Opera season, but they already have an intricate warm-up down pat.
Mamma mia!
Mamma mia, want some pizza?
Mamma mia, want some pizza?
Over the next 8 months, Little Opera will meet twice a week at West Portal Elementary in San Francisco. But this is not about doing a kiddie version of Carmen or Rigoletto. It's about kids creating their own operas. And unlike most children's theater companies, where the kids are actors and the adults call the shots, these kids have the final word on every artistic decision, from storyline to music composition to how short a sleeve should be on the queen's costume. That is exactly how the company's founder, Erin Bregman, imagined it.
I had this idea sort of percolating for a long time of creating a children's theater company where everything was made by kids.
So in 2011, she founded Little Opera.
On the first day of Little Opera, the first thing we ask is what is opera? Depending on if they've had any exposure to opera before, you get everything from, we already know that it's some theater on stage where everything is music and a lot of people die, to, is it Oprah? But one of the things that I always do on the first day of any class is I show the Bugs Bunny cartoon, What's Opera Doc?
Be very quiet, I'm hunting rabbits.
It quotes a lot of Wagner music, and so there's one part that the kids always end up singing later that's kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit,
kill the wabbit.
Kill the wabbit.
And after we show that to kids, there's really no conversation after that at all of opera not being something that is theirs.
Okay, it's one thing to understand the concept of opera, but writing one? Where do you start? Especially with kids as young as 6. How about with where the opera is set?
Maybe it could be in the water.
That's what I was thinking, Halloween with a pumpkin house.
They even toyed with setting an opera inside someone's big toe. But after a vote by secret ballot, they settle on
Crystal Castle in Antarctica.
Little Opera wants to make sure that the kids are in the driver's seat. But they also want the opera to make sense and clock in significantly shorter than Wagner's 15-hour ring cycle. The kids brainstorm a list of characters and begin fleshing out the story.
The opera, well, it's about this royal family, and they live in this crystal castle in Antarctica, and there's a villain who's trying to steal the crystal diamond.
And he saw the crystal, but that one was fake. So when the kookaburra flies down, the villain puts a spell on him and he says, "You are under my command, you work for me now." And then
because they have written the story, because they know the characters, once they get to the lyrics and the composition, they generally know how they want it to sound. They might not know the exact notes, but they really have a clear idea of what's the shape of this musically in a really broad sense, and then our job is focusing that and getting it specific.
Zeke, I need your attention now. It's really important. So
getting children to focus, period, is not an easy job. 4 months into the season, teacher Suzanne Verdelis works with an antsy group of kids on the libretto, the opera's lyrics.
What makes a home?
I know.
Yeah. What?
Love.
I miss my royal family's love. Yeah, would we want to repeat love? I miss my royal family's love. Their love.
Yes.
Okay, then the other thing we're missing from our libretto is we don't have anything about the crystal diamond. Why is the crystal diamond so important? Yeah, I see your hand.
It gets warmer and warmer because of love.
Wow, that's sort of a very poetic thought.
And that's what happens. Sometimes it comes together and the kids say something profound and poetic. The pieces are beginning to take shape. Now Little Opera invites professional musicians to come play the works in progress and give the kids a chance to adjust their compositions. Friction Quartet worked with the older kids, ages 9 to 11. After the quartet plays, the kids offer feedback.
More forceful.
Oh, we can make it forceful.
More forceful?
You could all try plucking the strings.
Ultimately, founder Aaron Bregman thinks Little Opera is nurturing a new generation of musical makers and creators.
I think with Little Opera, we're fostering kids who aren't afraid to make things and aren't afraid to dive into things that they're not experts in.
But it's about more than making. It's also about putting on a show. 9 months after they first met back in September, it's almost time. Backstage, during the final dress rehearsal, the energy is frenetic.
I'm excited to perform.
Me too.
I'm scared.
Sometimes when I was little, I used to, I was performing and I was so nervous, I just ran off at the stage and started panicking.
How do you make sure that you enjoy it?
I just let it go.
In the end, a total of 250 people came to see two sold-out shows. Family and friends were treated to performances full of energy and passion, including a synchronized drumming routine and an intricate shadow puppet scene. Sure, a few kids missed their entrances, but all in all, it was a huge success. For Cross Currents, I'm David Boyd.
Registration for the 2015-2016 season is open till October 14th. For the program, there is a fee, but scholarships are available and no child is turned away for lack of funds. For more information and to see scenes from the show, go to kalw.org and click on Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. This is Cross Currents. I am here with KLW News Director Ben Trefney.
Hello.
Nina Gensler-Debs, KLW reporter, and KLW General Manager Matt Martin. And the story you just heard was from David Boyer, whom you can talk to right now if you give us a call at 800-525-9917 because he has volunteered in our phone room during this drive.
In fact, David actually took a call just now from Amy Cranch in Berkeley, who gave a contribution to KLW. Thanks so much, Amy, and said pretzels are art and bureaucracies are BS. Well, we'll leave that to you to decide, but we do appreciate Amy's support at 800-525-9917.
We appreciate everyone's support as we are getting down to it. We need 16 more calls or clicks to get to this 40-caller click challenge. That gets an extra $1,000 for local public radio, and let me tell you, that goes a long way here. So we need you to do that right now. Get on your phone. Get on your iPhone. You can call us. You can click on our website. It's a beautiful website. Just do it already. 800-525-9917.
If you have a smartphone, you could do it either way at kalw.org or at 800-525-9917. I've been loving today's Cross Currents. I've been getting all over the Bay Area. We've been hearing from people all over the Bay Area.
Thank you for that call.
To quote from something earlier in the show, this whole thing is like a super cute friendship festival. I'm really enjoying it. So if you want to join that super cute friendship festival, call 800-525-9917.
And you are Hello Kitty.
Oh.
Meow.
Oh. Power. Call so Ben doesn't do that again. 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917. Some folks to thank. Jorge Fryer in San Francisco.
Thank you.
Bernard Shields, also in San Francisco. Melissa Green from Atlanta.
Thanks.
Tom Viola from Berkeley. Join these good people at KALW.org. Jorge, Bernard, Melissa, how can you go wrong? You want to be with them. KALW.org. Just click the donate button. It's as simple as can be. See those thank you gifts. Give your support.
And maybe you just moved to the Bay Area. There are a lot of people who've been coming in recently, and you're looking for a great way to connect with your community, to become a deeper part of the neighborhood that you're a part of. And this is a great way to do it. Be a part of KLW. We're great people. You can meet us all at a public radio party on October 17th.
October 10th.
October 10th. Not October 17th. October 10th. And you do that by calling 800-525-9917.
The public radio party is all about people power. We are driven by people like you. Go to kalw.org or 800-525-9917.
And while you're calling, we just want to take this opportunity to say goodbye to somebody we love here at KALW.
We love you.
Goodbye, and thank you to our wonderful engineer, Seth Samuel. This is his last day at KALW. We will miss you, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
He's made Cross Currents shows and stories sound gorgeous. I always love it when he's engineering my stories and everybody else on the team. He's been doing it since he was in his 20s. Seth is extraordinarily talented and creative, but also just funny and kind, has an amazing heart, playful and curious. All of these adjectives for Seth.
And he's super cute.
Yeah.
Oh, so adorable.
Totally. And he's, over the years, he's made countless little audio snippets for us to listen to, the newsroom. And it's often made from the outtakes, the bloopers from our recording sessions. Remember those?
Your bloopers. Honey.
My bloopers mostly, but you too. And sometimes just new and different works, and it always sounds fresh.
Yeah.
He even made a 16-minute documentary about the time our horrible softball team won its very first game. I'm sorry. I'm not a part of it. That's why I can say that.
That's true.
So we thought on his last day, which is today, it would be appropriate to play a short piece he once made that he called Any Last Words. And it's a compilation of the last words from many Cross Current stories, plus one from Ira Glass. Here it is.
He told us that he wasn't even sure he has ever even told his parents this story. Even this many years later. Anyway.
That may not be shorter than yours, but yours probably doesn't include harbor seals.
But they're definitely not hoping for them. They're hoping the birds stay out in the wild, where they're meant to be.
I remember telling the cat at one point that I'd find a place for us.
Why do Jews always answer a question with a question?
Do we?
It's clear that it doesn't really matter who the champion is. Today, they're all wieners.
And with that, she finishes writing on her clipboard and moves on down the dock.
I do know it's not a place anyone ever wants to go.
I guess I should schedule interviews on the new bridge from now on.
But stick around another 100 years, and who knows? They might just outnumber us again.
And there's something human about that that translates to all of us.
The entire society was a 16-year-old girl. In 1962.
Hoping that people are listening.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
Let's get out of here. I'm a Luther Catholic!
Alyssa and Seth are okay.
And they are married.
And married. Seth, thank you for everything. We really will miss you, and we love you.
Thanks, Seth.
Thanks, Seth.
You're a real wiener to us, Seth.
And we think that everybody who's listening right now is a real wiener to us also, and we want you to be a part of our family here also.
Wienerdom.
800-525-9917. Help us wrap up Cross Current Strong. Help us wrap up this drive. We could do it with your support. If you really get on the phone and give a generous donation right now, we will wrap up this drive, kalw.org.
800-525-9917. That 40 call or click challenge still on the line. We're in the last 60 seconds here of the final Cross Currents of this September campaign. Show your support now. Make sure we get that additional $1,000 for local public radio and feel good about it. Feel good about being a place where it tells you all these different stories, a sense of humor, incredible flair, wonderful sound-rich storytelling. That's what we support when we support KALW and Cross Currents. Make a call now, 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. We have at least one open line. Let's fill it up right now, 800-525-9917.
And we are nothing if not straight with you. We bring you the news exactly as you want to hear. And so we're being straight with you right now when we say we need you. We need you to support us. We need you to step up and become part of the KLW team. It's a great place to be, and we can't be here without you. 800-525-9917 or KLW.org.
That's right, KLW.org, 800-525-9917. Thanks to everybody for helping out here. Thank you for calling Nina, Matt, Hana. We really appreciate it all. And we are KALW San Francisco. Thank you so much.